I'll tell you all about it on today's show. Where did the indie electro movement start in the noughties? Hello, welcome to The Honest Wargamer. This is the 40K Adjacent Show. I'm joined by these two legends. Woohoo! The Falcon. You can't stop him, nor would you. And Mr. Mr. Val Heffelfinger with the camera working. Team, ahoy. How are you both?
I'm good. I turned off my stuff and turned it back on and showed right up on time, as normal.
The thing, yes. Pete, that tepid bothers me is how, like, a lot of the older generation don't really know how to use tech.
I got a wonky, look, I got a loose connection, all right? So when you got a loose connection, means that when you plug it in, plug it, unplug it, sometimes it'll connect again on the replug, sometimes it doesn't. And we had a sometimes it doesn't this morning, guys.
I feel you. I mean, I'm not saying that this was your fault, Val.
Oh, you are. I promise you that I will fire someone from the staff because of this. And
maybe it'll be your rice cake maker.
Could be the rice cake maker, Mrs. Padmore. Could be.
Ms. Padmore?
Could be.
Hand molded rice cakes.
I wonder if I was to be arrested for the murder of an ex-wife that I never committed, if you guys would come to my defense, even through all the time while I was in jail.
Not even for a fucking second.
I'm not even sure of which, like, rich person you're even alluding to there. I mean, there's so many people that I know personally who have been falsely accused of murdering their ex-wife, and it's just not right.
It's not right. No, it's not right.
You should not do that.
No. well, hello, everyone. Twitch chat. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. I'd like to thank our special guests today, Goonhammer Unread, a comical blog that we pretended to make during the 40K App Awards of 2020, which was a blog we were going to do where it was only the titles of articles and no actual articles included. So like clickbait, but just the title.
Now, I like the amount of effort and development that was put into this spoof graphic.
I really enjoy that.
It looks like you guys got there late and started later.
Well, as you know, we have a graphics department, and we always begin work 10 minutes before we were meant to start. And that's my favorite part about the whole team, is our ability to move on the fly. So how are you both? Pete, is it still super cold there? How's things?
The polar vortex is gone. It went away like 2 days ago, so it's only like minus 15, minus 20 degrees out now. Way better than it was.
Okay.
Way better. Minus 40, you don't want to be here. Minus 50, you stop caring. Minus 15,
okay,
you can live with your life. You can let a dog outside.
That's positive.
That's true. That's true. I don't have to worry about my dog dying while going outside. Yeah. I feel much better. I was, number one concern I always have when I'm ill is, missing this show. And the second is somebody might ask for a raise. And only one of those things happened. So that was good.
That's good. I'd like a raise. If anyone would like to give us a raise. Patreon, guys, it's a good opportunity to thank all of you. Thank you so much for your fluctuating support, but continued love, whatever the result. Big love. And thanks for being here. Val, have you been okay? Everything apart from the pay increase you've had to give?
No. I had a weird phantom migraine all week last week. It wasn't really even a migraine. I would say it's more of a headache. Very different, not as light sensitive as a man who gets migraines. Wasn't the same thing. Felt achy, cold and sweaty. Basically a regular day for Rob, but suboptimal for me. So I was just out of sorts all week. And then around, I went to the doctor, be like, hey, doc, what's up? And was thinking in my head, I have meningitis, so I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And luckily,
didn't have that.
He looked deep into my eyes with one of his flashy lights, and he said, when was the last time you got your eyes checked? And I said, doc, I don't need to get my eyes checked. I got these cool sunglasses. And that was it.
And then he asked you to take them off so that he could properly look in the eyes, right? Like that was the...
Well, It's not really, you could act, I mean, it's just like perforated.
I don't get it.
Not effective.
Doesn't stop much. I mean, more so than Donald Trump used to look at the sun directly during the eclipse.
Wonderful thing. Just a beautiful thing. Every day was such a treasure, you know? Like, that was, that was one of the greatest gifts, was when he looked bare-eyed at a solar eclipse.
My favorite Trumpian experience was a guy with a teleprompter. Still to this day, sometimes I look at it. I have it saved in my phone as Smile in a folder, just called Smile. It's a picture of Trump and an Easter bunny in the White House, and the teleprompter underneath, as someone has just written in brackets, left, to make sure you know which one is the president or which one is a 6 foot person in a bunny outfit. Still to this day, my favorite. Someone just like, I'm going to take a piss here. This is going to be great. Anyway.
Just very special. Just very special.
Yeah, very special.
Simpler times.
Talking about very special, there's a news article I wanted to discuss with you both this week that came up.
Ooh. Oh, wait, there's one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Super addicted to Total War Warhammer 2 again.
Way
down that rabbit hole. And so just so passionately deep into it.
It's, we know. We hear you.
Yeah.
It's all the time.
So good, I want to talk about.
It's so good. It is like a lot of times when I get carried away with an addiction, I feel bad. I don't feel bad. I almost talked myself into pulling an all-nighter last night. And that still only resulted in me getting 4 hours of sleep because of how deranged I am right now for the Total War Warhammer 2.
My question would you guys like to see a version of that for 40K? 40K? Would that be the one?
It'd be a big departure for the series, Rob.
It would be. It would be.
As a longtime Total War fan, we all know that that'd be a big. That'd be going from square to round bases, you know?
Yep.
It's a big deal, but I think it would work. You could do it quite nicely. Maybe just do it on a planet in a war zone. They could even have like variable maps. So like, we're playing on this planet, we're playing on this other planet.
I think Creative Assembly would just immediately shit itself. That's what I think would happen. They would be like, oh my God, there's more than one world. What do we do? Poop themselves over.
Man, they have. So Total Warhammer 2 is the most sold game on Steam ever. I think maybe Cyberpunk has beaten it, but I'm not sure. But I think not. I think it's the most sold game ever on Steam.
I remember calling bullshit on you on this the last time, and I think it had a year where it was. I don't think it's of all time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was, but it has been a top seller. And it's also, like, when the Greenskins DLC got released, it was the number one seller last year at that point. So, yeah, it's like a very popular game. Every time they drop something for it, it comes back to life.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You can single-handedly thank it for bringing back the old world. So funny. If this game had come out, if the original Total War Warhammer had come out in 2015 instead of 2016, there was a very good chance I never would have known either of you.
Yeah, you said this. Do you want to tell everyone why? You said this to me yesterday.
Because I did. But anyway, I thought that was a fresh nugget. But nonetheless, the reason I say that is because I got back into Warhammer in 2015. Because I was desperately frustrated from playing video games, not the good kind of frustrated, the why am I doing this kind of frustrated, to the point where I would look up what was happening with Warhammer down that rabbit hole, dead. If it had happened the year before, I would have found Warhammer Total War, played that, and then been like, oh man, I'd love to play fantasy again. And then I'd Google that, and then I'd be like, nope, fantasy's dead, we blew it up. And I'd be like, cool, on to something else. And then never know you, Rob and Pete.
That would have been a rubbish time, right?
Crazy.
Have you played it before, Falcon?
Played Total War, whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we've talked about this, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Games Workshop was sold on that license because War was in the title twice?
Yeah.
I think that's what did it. They didn't even look at the brief. They were just like, right, we're in.
I've seen the rest of their video games. It's very much like a Nicolas Cage situation where they just agree. Like, they're just like, we want to make a video game of your shit. They're like, do it.
Do it. I was actually, if anyone's interested, I was actually in a licensing/marketing meeting with the guys from Creative Assembly while I was at Games Workshop for the launch of Total War Warhammer 2. Little fun side nugget. And I came up with an idea which I thought was a great idea, but we'll see what you guys... I'll pitch it to you guys. You guys are the board.
Ready to receive.
Creative Assembly, like, we're doing our pre-order for Total Warhammer 2. What do you think that... How could we integrate with Games Workshop as a company? And I was like, for every pre-order, you should get a 10% voucher off a starter box from G-Dubs. Like, that's
a
what
coupon? That's what
GW should give with the pre-order.
What?
And then,
what sort of plebeian east side of the city shit is that? A coupon? Do you know what company we're working for, briefly?
Well, that was my suggestion. My thoughts were, of course, there's a whole bunch of computer gamers that don't play Warhammer. And with that 10% voucher, they would go into the store for their first journey into what can only be described as their next new addiction. I thought that was a great... But it would be a physical voucher you had to take, so you had to go into the store, then you got into the world, you met the people in there, and then that is your journey through life. But no one... They didn't okay that. And in fact, Games Workshop gave them nothing.
Well, I believe there was a little... thing you could click on on a title screen somewhere that would take you to the Games Workshop website. I have a question because I was, of course, untimely ill last week. I did not have a chance to react to the Total War Warhammer 3 announcement. And I'm curious, Rob, as a fantasy sword and board man, and this is as adjacent as it gets for 40K, what are your thoughts about them going for it, reaching for the stars, and developing all of those pure racial stereotype factors that they've been too cowardly to develop for 40 years. They're doing it now. Kathy coming. We're going to get Nippon. We're going to get the names for things that we were taught when we were children.
And Nippon
and
is...
No longer can say.
Nippon's not okay as a name of a place. Like, straight out.
We got Indus. We got Nippon. What else? There's a... What? What do you think about that? How are they gonna thread this needle?
I think they're just gonna ignore it. It's gonna be the simplest tactic, as with all of their PR. They're just gonna hammer away. I think is gonna be the key part. I mean, what's most exciting is it gives you some look into what the old world game would be like. I've talked about this previously, but I think one of the maybe startling developments. I don't know about you guys. The thing that I find quite interesting. And it relates to a whole bunch of stuff that's going off in the minute in kind of my personal hobby life, is that all of the amazing sculptors and designers who work for Creative Assembly are going to imagine or reimagine with some source material, obviously, from Games Workshop, these models. And there are some outstanding... big shout out to, I don't know if he's in the chat, big shout out to my man who's printing out Grom. So Chris, he's printing out the models that you can get in Total War being 3D printed out. The paunch and all that other stuff. But more so than that, what I mean is it's cool that Nippon and everything is going to be developed.
I'm getting a call. It's GWHQ.
Yeah,
they're panicking. They said, "What? You can print a video game? How did this happen?"
Yeah, so I just think, number one, no, but ignoring the 3D printing part of it, that's not my point. My point is that there's going to be some amazing sculpts produced in-game. And, like, I don't know if you've, in Total War 2, the Saurus Warriors look amazing. They're like, oh, Croxagore look beefy. Real Croxagore, no.
So many comments that I want to do here. First of all, Kathy? Like, it's just a terrible comic strip from the early, late 90s. Look, I'm pretty sure all that they're going to have to work off of is like, hey, Jess, we're doing Kathy and in a video game. Can you get us some sketches? And he just handed over something that he tossed off on one of his smoke breaks. And it was just the most racist stuff that they've ever seen. Like, Creative Assembly probably just went quiet on the phone. And then, like, cool, we're just going to do dragons. Everyone cool with dragons? Okay, we're doing dragons. Thanks, Jess. And that was it.
Yeah.
I believe
it. Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to it anyway. And that trailer. How's that trailer? It was good, right?
Very good.
Very good. Very good. I'm into Kislev.
How did, like, they really nailed the four adjectives to describe the ruinous powers.
If you listen to my show, yeah, I said that.
Did
that
you?
Was, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. My whole life's a fever dream.
I said that Sinesh is the best way to describe. I've always struggled to describe Sinesh. And then obsession, great way to describe. Obsession.
Calvin That's Klein great. This whole time. Slaneshi.
I think I can segue.
Oh, man, I just want to talk about the old world, but okay, fine.
Okay, I think I can do this. So obsession is like a great word for Sinesh. Of course, another thing people are obsessed with is ITC points to bring me back.
Okay, I think I know where this is going.
Thank you.
Oh, is it going to a certain scandal?
Oh, come on. We've got to talk about, even if it's not a scandal, I want to know what you two think of the scandal.
Does everyone know what we're talking about, chat? Do you know?
No,
do you know?
Pete, they don't have their fingers on it.
All right, Johnny.
Pete, could you give us what the scandal is?
So I assume this is about the Goonhammer article that has about like 14 addendums now, in terms of editorial notes to cover all the bases from the initial article.
Yeah.
So last week, Naramith Kyle Thompson put out an article where he went into detail about how a certain tournament at Wizards Asylum, they help run like the Iron Halo and some other events, decided not to follow what he thought were very safe COVID protocols. They kind of had a announcement at the beginning of the event that you didn't have to wear a mask if both people at the table didn't want to, and some other things, and he felt very uncomfortable. And so he went on a bit of a rant about how if we're going to hold tournaments, we have to be safe.
Bit of a rant.
Just a small amount. Like, not there big. And kind of, you know, bit of a hit piece, I'll say.
But where's the twist?
And the twist was, after it all went through and you read the article, it turns out in the clapback for doing this, that he had left the tournament to and instead went to a maskless wine tasting. And then went bar hopping. rather than, you know, driving safely home with his wife. So, yeah. Now, two wrongs don't make a right, for sure. That's where we're at. So we ended up with, a pretty lengthy article that had multiple addendums to it, basically stating that the Goonhammer editors, you know, do not condone his actions. But at the same time, you know, this is a feeling that should be held, like everyone here should be held accountable, blah, blah, blah. Like you need to read it because I'm not going to do it proper justice. But that's the extent.
Can proper justice be done? So, like... No. I want to know everyone's opinions on it. I think it's fascinating. I missed it. I only saw. Go on, straight away. Get in. Go on. I sub you in. Go on, coach.
Everyone in the story is dumb. Let's
Start
drive
to finish.
11 hours in a pandemic to go to a tournament in the first fucking place. Two, let's throw a fucking tournament. Although, granted, Kansas, they're doing better than other places. Still higher daily infection rate than most countries.
Tournament at all in any
don't
way.
Don't do the tournament. However, I do, and I get the love for that TO because I love that TO. He actually did his best in a previous one. And you know what, guys? Here's another fucking dumb thing. Even if the infection rate is low, even if you're allowed to do it, saying that it's okay to do something indoors in a crowded, sweaty, gross room without masks, that's bullshit. Third, though, buddy, you went to a fucking tournament in a pandemic. What do you want? Yeah. Like, even if you are wearing masks, like it's a dicey call. Did you hear about this UK variant, guys? You guys, maybe they haven't heard of the UK.
Wow, I actually find that racist.
There's a very viral thing happening, and it's not. It's not. I am a cat.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah, my sentiments. I think because there aren't many tournaments, there isn't much going on. All drama is exploded beyond measure.
Yes.
Like. Which is fair. So keeping your head generally below the parrot, like a spicy call or a hot article take pre-COVID, during COVID times, you don't have much else really to go on about. So, like, I'd keep your head lower than that. But I think I... Go on, Pete, after you.
It's a funny thing. I thought it was, like... I talk pretty regularly to several of the Goonhammer guys, quote unquote. I would say I'm friends with several, and it's just an interesting thing to see how that got approved, which I understand Kyle has been part of their crew for a very long time. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a back end, like, oh, you know, he's just doing an article. Here we go. Oh, it's a little spicy. It'll be fine. But then like the backlash when they find out, like, oh, there's extra going on here. Like, oh no. Like, it's just too funny. It was so shitty on all accounts. I couldn't believe it. I was like, why are we even going down this route? And this is like a person that did an article at the beginning where, you know, slamming the ITC and Reese for not, you know, putting a hold on everything themselves, right? To say don't get points for tournaments and then going to tournaments to get points that don't matter. Although maybe they do matter now. Maybe that's the point. Maybe because people think by the end of the year we'll be doing lots of tournaments, it's time to get your ITC points early.
Yeah, I'm calling Jin.
Oh, go on. What are you saying? Well,
me and Pete were having a bit of a conversation the other day, and I'm saying that basically, as far as America and the UK is concerned, pandemic is over as soon as the patio opens. It's over.
How do you mean?
Well. So there's this cool thing going on, I think, and this is a bit of a hot take, but because they did nothing to prevent the spread of COVID-19, mm-hmm. A lot of people got it. Potentially up to a third of Americans have had COVID-19 at this point. Pretty crazy.
Potentially, that's true.
Potentially.
Yeah, we don't know.
It's an estimate. It's a high-end range. It's an estimate. Whatever. And the UK, that new strain, it's hot. So they're going to have a high amount of people who have had it. And then you vaccinate.
Can I just tell you, as an Englishman, I want you to finish the point, but as an Englishman, the minute it's sunny, and I mean the fucking minute that the weather is what the lads around here will call beer garden weather, it's fucking done. Like, there's no hope. But please continue.
But I'm saying amongst the population of, I believe Rob would use the term, mooks that would have already gotten it due to carelessness and going to tournaments in Kansas, and then... on the other hand, people who have gotten their shots and been vaccinated, because the two countries that have given no Fs during this whole thing, by the way, also former rulers of the universe and have all the vaccines. So they are going to be juiced up on vaccines. So you're probably going to get to like a 60-70% either had COVID or are vaccinated by the time we hit early summer. It's party on, Wayne. They're going to be having a great time. I think it's just going to be weapons free, like very soon.
I would agree with you, which is quite scary for me because I've got a lot of terrain to paint. Like, a lot of terrain. but no, I agree. I think ultimately the goss is just maybe funny. Like, I feel like any vitriol that applied to it, maybe because I'm very removed, and I can definitely feel the guys at Goonhammer, who, again, I'd like to stress, as a Patreon of theirs, I think do a great job and service for the community. End of conversation. I think the is it the, what is it, the Bella Kittens, the kitten, sexy kittens, blood cat, what is that, Paul?
Blood
that
of kittens, yeah.
Blood of kittens.
Blood of
made
kittens.
Made a good point, and that maybe what we really want from Goonhammer is like good editorial commenting about the game, and societal commentary is like, is a tough call that really you only want mouthy wankers like me to make. But go on, Val.
I think that is a bullshit Yankee thing to say. I think that's a super bullshit Yankee thing to say. If their take is wrong, that's fine. But for God's sakes, that is like a dog whistle to me of like, oh, I don't like politics in my clearly politically fucking designed game. You know, like that just is like people feeling uncomfortable wanting an adult. I think it's sparked a childishly grown up conversation about how appropriate this shit is. Goonhammer 100% can make social commentary. Go for it. This is a social game. We're impacted by social things all the damn time. And I hate that concept. I think we should be free to comment on whatever we
should be free to comment. But I think if you're going to to do it in that way, you need to be smarter about it, right? Like, that's the whole point. If we're going to add social commentary and add our opinions and try to make them official, like, take the time.
Also, criticizing people for health and safety problems, to me, not a political statement.
I agree.
Yeah,
with
no,
that.
Agreed.
Maybe not right now, but anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not it is, does not make it so to me in this particular case. Like, the fact that a piece of the world thinks this is a political opinion, the fact is that was super dumb what they did. If that guy hadn't gone and wrote the same article, I'd say fair game. Mm-hmm. The only reason why he's been discredited is A, he went to the fucking thing and then apparently had an open mouth kissing marathon in the evening. And that's okay. Hypocritical, sure. Hit job, whatever. But Pete and I wouldn't have covered that event. We would have just said nothing. Maybe we would have been so pissed off that we would have said something. But, like, that was super stupid.
Well, actually,
the fair game, aside from the personal biases and hypocrisies of the author.
Yeah, and also, you made a really solid point, and I agree with you, actually, that, yeah, like, they should be allowed to make social commentary. Of course they should, like, about anything that they feel is justified to make. Fair point, and I apologize. Like, that's a very good point, well made. I more meant that, like it's not what they. I don't know if that's what they traditionally do, and it's okay for authors and also content creators to create something different to what maybe I expect them to do. So that's super okay. So, like, that's fine. And you know, and you're right. Like, maybe if the thing, but, like, that's why I wanted to talk to you both, because more than anyone, you two have been silent about, because there have been 40k events in some very high infection rate areas. Similarly, there have been Age of Sigmar events that me and Owen have never spoken about. Like, we just say, hey guys, we're not going to talk about this event, we're sorry, or we just ignore the fact that an event is occurring and we don't talk about it, because of course propagating that idea is actually super dangerous. It's okay. Like, I would love to go to tournaments, have tournaments, uh-huh, here, do coverage, of course. And TTS is a wonderful tool that means you don't have to. No, it's not perfect, but it's brilliant. Like, it's pretty great. Like, and it's available.
It's, methadone. It's like a methadone. You know, it's bullshit heroin. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, and I just think, like, and I know that, like, the ITC have had, like, a very hands-off approach. If I'm right in thinking Reese has an entire Space Marine army that is yellow and their shoulder pad says, don't tread on me. I'm not sure if that's 100% correct, but I think maybe. Big shout out, Reese. Look, I know you love the show. he's a great guy. I really like him. I hope we can have a cuddle one time. Or maybe, like, he can punch me and then we can have a cuddle. So my point is, like, how do you guys feel about... Because you guys... I know that you guys haven't covered events. So, like... And I know I've asked you about this before, but, like, with this ongoing, and I know that, yeah, maybe it's going to be, like you say, all weapons loose soon, Val. How do you guys feel, as the people who talked about events, more than anyone I can think of for 40K, like, you know, what are your feelings on it? Yeah.
I just want to quickly say, previous comments about all weapons free very soon, regardless of whether or not that's a smart thing for society, I just suspect that we're already chafing at the bit, and I that's what I assume is going to happen, whether or not that's a healthy thing. Go ahead, Pete.
What's the question?
Good. The question is mainly, guys haven't talked about events that haven't occurred, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've told that statement. I guess really, have you guys actively come out against events like these guys have? Or you think that that's a negative? Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys have. Okay, so, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought I'd ask you about that.
We went off the air very, very dramatically. In the beginning, and then although Pete, yeah, you can take this one. Go for it.
No, I mean, like, I think Val said, yeah. The first time we went off the air in, was it March, April? It was like a relatively dramatic, like, hey, you know, things are real bad. You guys need to stop. Like, we don't want to be the reason why anyone's doing an event. And we stopped. And there was some behind the scenes, like, mumbling and grumbling from people about it. But I mean, at the same time, like, literally the next week, we stopped seeing GTs for like 4 months. There was like one in Texas, I think, for the whole of that period. So that was a thing. Like, people, because that was like the quote unquote worst time. When they started back up, we kind of tentatively dipped our feet back in. We were like, okay, infection rates are really low in a lot of places at the time. So, you know, hey, you mask up, you take your hand sanitizer, you prove to us that you're taking this seriously and we'll cover your event. But like really quickly, we realized that no matter how seriously people were saying they were taking it, it was too fickle. Like there's too much, you'd cover an event and then pictures would come out like 2 seconds later of guys just like, you know, like hugging it out and touching each other's butts and like putting their hands in each other's mouths and shit. And you're like, why is this happening? So like, it just didn't feel right. Like, and I'm not calling out any particular event because there was lots of events, I'm sure, that did everything they're supposed to do. But there was just like time and time again, I'd go to like talk about an event and then I'd pull up pictures from the event and just be like you'd see most people in masks and then there'd just be this one picture where it's like two guys with trophies just going at it. And you're like, oh God.
Well, I mean, we have an episode in the can actually that we never released, which actually featured Flying Monkey GT, right?
Yep.
We
did that one. It was the one after. Okay. It was the one after. And like all three or four events that were in that one seemed to be super safe. So, or at least from anything we saw. But there was a lot of reasons.
Super accelerating. That was September, basically.
Yeah. Things were back up and we just said, you know, we'll wait it out and see what happens now. And now like Australia has, I don't know, whatever, 10 cases across the whole continent. It's probably more. Every time I say something like that about a country, I realize that they're having a like 18th outbreak. You know, like, God damn it. Why did I talk? But like they've popped out 4 or 5 GTs and majors in the last 3-4 weeks. So kudos to them. I kind of had a little glimmer of maybe we should talk about these because it's something,
you know, but you know, it's like there's been a nuclear holocaust. And this is exactly what happens in all the novels. Everything survives in Newfoundland, as well as Australia and New Zealand.
Yep, it's just what happens. Although the next Pacific Rim, apparently Australia gets fucked. Like literally, like nobody else cares. Australia just gets pounded into the sand. So keep that in mind. Flip the script.
I think a super fundamental, interesting question will be, how we react when things get going in earnest here. And even just judging by last summer, think about last summer. There was no vaccine, right? We hadn't had the second spike, so we didn't have like a bunch of people who got it knowingly or unknowingly. So coming into this summer is going to be a real hard gut call. Like, what is the right thing to do? When the scene comes back to life, whether or not everyone wants it to or not.
And also, the issue is like, according to, like, okay, right. Val and you guys live in a pretty nice country, right? Canada. Yeah? And then, like...
It's okay.
Right? It's okay. I'm a nice country. Like, you know...
We don't have any vaccines, but whatever.
Yeah, and I live in a country that's pretty nice, apart from, obviously, we shouldn't murder all the rich. But, like ignoring that, like, if my local, guidelines were that it's okay to stab each other, yeah, you two would be like, cool, I'm not probably going to propagate the idea of an event that stabs each other. But it's probably not, like, in our kind of, like... And so, local guidelines, and that's the kind of weird thing, right? I've got bros over in New Zealand and in Australia. Like New Zealand, they're like, oh, we've had one case locked down, all of us, for 1 week. Like, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, everyone outside always masks all the time. So, yeah, fine. Some, like, county in bumfuck Idaho is like, you can, like, finger each other. Like, go for it. Go wild. Yeah? Like, it
hot
doesn't...
breath everywhere. Yeah. Moist breath.
Speak
everywhere.
Moistly. Speak as moist as you can.
So my point is we have adhered to local guidelines is a fucking cop, like it's a cop out, it really really is. Like I don't think that's okay. Like, and America is the shining like shitty example, because of course someone's like, well, our governor says we don't have to, and it's like, well, your governor's like a demon or whatever he is, like, so like that's the difficult part, right? Because a lot of these tournaments that we have ignored for Age of Sigmar, at least, have been from America, unsurprisingly. So you're like, cool. Like, although it was one from the UK, and I was like, what am I meant to say, man? Don't do that. Like, I mean, I directly said, don't do that event. That's bad. You're being like, it doesn't matter. The government says, like, it's okay to run wild because it's not.
Yeah.
Like, it's unsafe to do so, and that feels really weird. Like, as a dude, to like, I don't know. So yeah, with the summer coming up, it's going to be a tough gut call.
Realistically here, like, and this is where I'm getting, like, the world is changing, and I know that there's a lot up in the air right now, and with regards to specifically vaccines, hell, even immunity after having it, we don't know if you're still able to pass it on, we don't know if vaccinations stop you from being able to pass it on, there's all kinds of stuff, there's variants coming through, how's that going to do with efficacy, all this kind of stuff, but nonetheless, like, the world has changed since the last time we were coming up against this dilemma. And last year, I did get to a point of comfort with the thought of take it seriously, wear your masks. You know, numbers are cratering everywhere right now, I think, because it's the winter and we're out of holidays to ruin everything. So, you know, things are on an improving track. I mean, I think there is likely going to be an argument to say that, you know, by the time we're getting into the summer, people will make the argument that, hey, you know what? It's not the same as last year. We'll still do the social distancing thing. We'll still do the mask thing, but it's going to be an order of magnitude, you know, safer. And your grandma has had the vaccine twice by now, so you're not going to kill her. And that's who we've been worried about this whole time. So, like, you know what I mean? Like that. What do we think? Like, how do we cross that bridge when we get there?
Well, yeah, like that's really like the adult conversation on air I wanted to have with you both, and I think you're right. Like coming up to the summer, it's going to be an interesting question, and like, and I don't want this to be always a question about that. But you guys do the same job that I do. At some point, you talk about events, as do I. Like, you know, like Pete made sure that when he, like, the Nova guys were organized, all their local restrictions were in place, and I'm sure that there were some actual restrictions in place, like put by Pete and everyone else as well. So there's loads, like, I don't know, it almost falls on our heads to have that conversation about, because that article did not do a good job. Like, and you want to get the community on one page. That's the other point as well. I don't want there to just be members of the community like, nah, fuck yeah, I'll do an event. Like, them Warhammer bros, like, yeah, maybe they got shit opinions, but I want them to be on the same page.
Was there a viral backlash like this last year in the summer against any of the many tournaments that were going on? I don't think so, right?
I mean, there kind of was.
There was like some side mouthing on Reddit that I saw, but I never saw like
on Facebook too. Like, I mean, the Comp 40K shut down like every time anyone brought up like anything COVID related when it came to someone trying to advertise an event. They still do. Like, if you, they've made announcements like, hey, if you, we don't care what you think about COVID, that's not what this place is about. And they're kind of leaving it at that, right? So that there aren't these giant flame wars that do come up literally every time anyone like announces an event, because like it is still a hot button issue for a lot of people, as it should be. So I don't know. I think like a lot of it's kind of been stymied by that, and there's kind of been an opinion by a lot of the people that cover this stuff that they just won't cover it until they feel comfortable. I mean, Goonhammer's been the same way. They even said in that article, but in multiple others, they stopped their tournament coverage unless it's like in Australia and New Zealand. They don't talk about UK or US or Canadian events right now. If they happen, they just ignore that they exist. So
what if you had a tournament organizer, like, so recent Frankie right now, they've got the ITC, they've announced a super exciting series of events. Mm-hmm. I am plugging them on The Honest Wargamer because I do think it's super exciting. They've expanded their event roster.
Reese is a big fan of the show, so it's like he'll be happy with this.
That shows his patience and benevolence that he is such a big fan. But nonetheless, so those events are going. So what if you know, he, you know, showcases, we're at a quarter capacity, we've got massive spacing, fuck, SoCal Open is essentially outside, we've got you know, mandatory masks, strictly enforced rules, also, like, at this point in America, 40% of the people have been vaccinated, everyone else has had it, what, like, where, how do we feel about that?
It's a good question.
Basically, the same thing as last year. So, like a respected organizer saying, look, we're going to follow this really, like the Stephen Box approach, where not only is he doing guidelines, but doing actual best practices, which our governments are afraid to tell us to do. So actually doing good best practices in combination with the new reality that we're entering. Well, how does that strike you guys?
I think at that point it comes down to your personal decision making, right? Like, I know for a fact that I would be mortified if I organized and or went to something which led to someone close to me maybe even dying, which is like a very real, I mean, ultimately that is true in all sorts of ways. If I drove a car and other stuff, there's a certain level of like risk management. Like, how do I feel? Like, if the risk is 1% and the event's 100 people, one person is definitely affecting, right? But then they're, yeah, like, you got smoking, you got all other stuff that's like happened in, yeah, society. That's a tough call. But I do think if you are enacting and trying to do best practice, like proper best practice, masks on, like, I mean, eating like is a bit of an issue, right? Like, where are you going to go eat? Like, you got to go eat away from everyone else.
Yeah.
It would be quite lonely. I honestly don't know if I want to go to a tournament like that. I don't know if I want to go to a tournament where the spirit of the tournament feels taken away, right? Go on, after you.
I was just going to say, remember how good TTS is, that experience. Now think of like even a masked up, very distant tabletop experience. I think it's still going to be good. I think you're still going to have a real nice time seeing people, talking to people. It's a 4-up? 4-up? Okay. You know, whatever. I still think that's going to be awesome. So experience, be that as it may, I understand why you may not want to do it because it's bullshit. I'm going to wait till I don't have to wear a mask, whatever. But like just fundamentally, I think eventually, and I'm not this person. I am a person who thinks we should take it seriously. I think that all this bad shit has happened not because experts were wrong, it's because they were right. We should definitely do our best to be our better selves in all cases. But the script will flip eventually where it will be less doing something will be less risky. COVID will still be out there. COVID's always going to be out there now, guys. You know, it'll be less risky to do this. And like the opportunity will be there. Do you go?
Yeah, Pete, what do you think? Because you're always really removed from these tournaments until you decide to go to a big one. That's normally your kind of like, you know, like the mountain man, you come down and knowledge us about what the truth of the spirits of the trees are. Like, what are your feelings?
I mean, I personally don't feel comfortable with anything until at least probably September, depending on COVID rates and vaccination rates and things like that. Personally, if Reese, who's a good friend of mine, were to message me and be like, hey, I'm doing a 250 person event in August, I'd be like, cool. Like, I have nothing to say to that. Like, I won't go. I don't think it's a smart idea to do it. There's like Dallas Open. It's currently happening in May by the looks of things, looking to try and get to 250 people. No. I don't know if that's a great idea. I don't feel like it is, but
okay.
Different ideas, right? That's me. That's my personal comfort level. I don't think it's a good idea right now because, you know, getting into a big room with a bunch of sweaty guys, even if it's an airplane hangar, like you're going to risk something. And the risk is too great. But, you know, once you get to that, like as many people as we can possibly get are vaccinated, which according to, you know, the Canadian and U.S. governments for our countries, they're looking at September, maybe a little earlier for the U.S. if they keep ramping up as fast as they are. Like, that's a different story because then it's like, how do we do more? And I think once I can come to a point in my brain where how do we do more is like we just can't, then it's just about the numbers, right? Like if we can't do more, if no one else is going to get vaccinated unless you force them to, then okay, well, here's the, like, COVID is still a thing, but you know, nobody's dying any longer or so few people that it's the same as anything else we've normally lived with. Cool. Let's just do it. Let's live our lives. We can't hide forever. But that's like you said, I think it's going to be a gut check for a lot of people. And that's really what it's going to come down to. Like, I don't I don't cover any. Well, Val and I still don't cover any events right now. I still put up stats on 40kstats.com. I just don't like highlight anything, right? I'm not writing articles. I'm just like, here's numbers, because numbers exist no matter what. That's kind of how I've been following it. But yeah, that's really it. I think it's just going to be a gut check. And for me right now, at least, that's probably September-ish. Maybe that'll change. Maybe we'll get to a point where we have like one case in all of Canada, and it'll be like, I don't know, July, and I'll say, cool, okay, we'll just everybody go to town, do what you like, live your dream. But that's where I'm currently at. So
yeah. I appreciate both of you, because like, yeah, it's not that I mean, I brought it up as a lighthearted, like, lol, what a great time on the internet it was the past few days.
It was really also, ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous. But like,
I think it's a super important conversation, and yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, it has turned into what is a very important conversation, and it's right. Like, and as you're in a country, like I'm somewhere in a different country, and so they're all going to work. Like, I'm like, I see everyone in Australia, like, even close to each other, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Because in England right now, like, I'm in like only my household, and I can have a support bubble with another single household. That's it. That's my entire like existence. And yes, there are people breaking those rules, but that doesn't mean that they should be breaking those rules. So at the minute, it feels wild that that even the concept of a tournament, really. I know that they're probably like, in my head, May, we might be able to have like some local tournaments, like with some smaller groupings. So that's kind of where my head's at. And will I be hosting them here? The answer is yes, but only if I think it's safe. Like, only if I think it's safe, not what the government says. Like, that's going to be, it's going to be super important to me. And like we actually built the venue with partitions on purpose between all of the tables, so it's as safe as possible. You still have to circulate. It's still one air with one lot of fucking, like, it's one room with one lot of air. Like, don't be dumb. Like, of course it's going to be able to, like, travel around. That's how things work. And so, like, you know, like, it's going to be a real hard, like, gut call, like it is going to be for everyone. And that's going to be a really hard time. And like, and I think one of the important bits maybe is to maybe not, like, the pushback from the weekend was pretty heavy in loads of different ways. Some people were like, fuck you, we're going to do any events ever, free my nipples, or whatever they were saying. Yeah, and then there was a whole bunch of other guys who were like, why don't we be responsible and care about each other? And you're always going to have to, like, draw the line between those two groups, because it feels like that's generally life anyway. And is going to be quite hard. But, like, it would be nice if we could be kind and drag the fuck you, let's free the nipples dudes just to the, just over a little bit. If we could just be like, dude, we're a community of people and we'd love to, like, so I'm not shout out bad actors. That's not what I'm trying to say. It would just be nice to be like you said, Pete, there's an event happening in May, did you say? No, like, you're like, you don't feel comfortable with that. That's fair. That's super fair. Like, it would be nice to, like, maybe have a conversation with someone like, do you have to do it? Like, is it vital? Like, does that have to happen? Like, do you really feel comfortable? Like, I think maybe we could try and, like, negotiate with each other, because we are a really cool community of people. And be able to have that conversation would be super nice. But probably that isn't how it'll go down, and we'll just make memes of each other and call each other
dicks. For sure. But I mean, I also get, like, some of these TOs that want to do these events. It's not just, like, there's a money thing involved. Like, a lot of these guys have either put a ton of money into an event, and they didn't get any kind of insurance for it because they didn't think this would be a thing. Or they, like, this is how they make a lot of their money. And so, and they're not getting a lot of government assistance, depending on where you are. So I feel it. Like, I understand some of these, like Bam, Brian Hunter, who runs Wizard Asylum. Like, he runs a small business, definitely was hit hard by COVID. So there's going to be a thing where you have, where, like, personally, you have to say, you know, like, I need to put food on my table. This is what I, how I chose to do it. Like, how do I get around this? Right. And there's a balance there. So, like, I don't get super mad at a lot of these people for doing what they do. I want to make sure that's clear. Sometimes I do. There are definitely people that are like, I want to run an event in my basement. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Don't do that. Like, don't be an idiot. Like, those ones are the, but when they're like, you know, I run a small business, I've got a family of eight and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. I super get it. I understand. Like, yeah, there's an empathy there, but yeah, like,
I think the disappointment here, especially with a guy like Bam, we've interacted directly with Bam a number of times, a chat with the guy. You know, I was super impressed with the last one that was notable that he ran, which was Bigger. Just in the sense, like, it was this kind of the height of the mask versus no masks stuff. It was in Kansas, and people showed up and they wore masks. I got kind of emotional. I was like talking about it on this show, just how like we can, you know, use 40K to encourage people to do the right thing, because here's your reward. You get to play in this tournament if you just act responsibly, right? And so I think that's, for me, it comes back down to that again. I think coming into this, you know, probably beginning again of a tournament season in the summer is going to be, who can we look to like set a friggin' example on this? You know, one of my greatest gripes about the ITC is, Rob, you made the joke about the don't tread on me thing. Reese's personal libertarianism aside, there is no, ITC would not exist if he attempted to be a sanctioning body out of the gate. Like, if you make the most benign suggestions to the, like, TO group, mm-hmm. About, like, standards, and it's just crazy people going insane. So, like, that's a problem to me, because it would be really great if we could say, all right, in order to get your ITC points, until further notice, you got to demonstrably have masks in effect. You got to kick people out who don't observe that policy. You know, if you got rapid testing that's cheap, I don't know. This is the future. Something can happen. Whatever it is, have you done what you can? You got proper spacing. Like, have an actual guideline for us, for Warhammer. So that way we can say, this event did it right. And we can celebrate the people who did it right, which I think was kind of what Pete and I were hoping to do when we went back online. Yeah. And it rapidly became a little bit more of a than I think we wanted to. So I want, like, if maybe this has inspired me to get in Reese's ear about, like, hey, you're going to be really tempted to run.
But I think that's unfair. Like, number one, I'd like to clarify again and again. I think Reese is a great dude, as is Frankie. Terrible.
No, you don't.
Great dudes. I'm being serious.
Don't lie.
No, I will. Like, I will clarify. And again, the thing you were talking about with the business, Pete, affects him. It affects me. It affects a whole bunch of people, right? And that's hard, because there's a bunch of staff. You know, and that community of people, the ITC guys, have worked their balls off for years to get where they are now. And they, you know, and I think that that's commendable. And it's a shame that this thing has happened to them, very much like every person I know in the event industry and all that other stuff. I feel very sorry for all the Disney princesses on ice who currently are sat at home not being a princess for Disney. I mean, bless their hearts. Like, that's their whole thing.
Think of all the theater. Think of all the, like, I studied drama. Think of all the theater actors. What the hell are they? They could barely afford to eat before. What are they doing now?
Like, they're doing D&D on Zoom.
Really well, really fucking well.
They're making real good money. Some of them.
They are so good. Yeah, but the point is really that's unfair to put the leadership role on them. Yeah, maybe they've taken a leadership role in the community before and done so and done well. That's unfair though. The game wholeheartedly is made by a $1 billion company who can make a video right now with best practices, things to do, reward like tournaments. But like, hey. If you do a best practice tournament, like with these guidelines, we're going to send you a fuck ton of stuff because we make billions of pounds.
We're going, like, to send you Warhammer branded masks.
Yeah, fucking. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. That we have if getting out there and playing games safely is important, really, the company should take the lead on it and not anyone else. Like, it will eventually lead. We know that's not going to happen, but it will lead. But I think it's unfair to put that on a business owner who's struggling in these times. I think that's unfair.
Like, I didn't even dare to dream what you just suggested, and bravo. If anyone still has the stomach to listen to this show from that firm, I think that is a brilliant idea. And while they're at it, they can do a quick video on how to set up terrain. Also, I don't think that it's unfair for someone like... you know, specifically, I'm like literally talking about Frontline Gaming. They've announced a series of 9 events, right? That's a lot of events. And they're all eventually going to be, you know, super major status. So 256 and above. Or at least that's what they're going to shoot for, right? I don't know out of the gate. If they run one in June, don't know what that's going to be. But like specifically those guys, all right, now they are the big boys of, they are actually running an operation to that is like, a wing of their business is legitimately putting on events once this stuff gets resolved. And they are so excited to do it. And I want them to be excited. And so I think because they will be out front and center, I think it is important to, just like we just did with GW, to influence where we can, the importance to emphasize strong, good behaviors, because the temptation is going to be, not even temptation, this is just going to be the reality, is that people are going to YOLO. They're going to do what just happened in Kansas, which is, oh, we're through it now. You don't have to wear masks anymore, guys. And that's not going to be the right way to do things for a while, right? So what I'm saying is I think the risk is going to be reduced significantly, full stop, versus last year. And I think that the importance is to maintaining our best selves that we saw last year, and having the leaders that we have demonstrating, and hell yeah, Games Workshop, they're going to be able to open up Warhammer World, right? You're right. Like, have a little demo of like how to play this game as safely as possible. Hire a consultant. Get somebody on the TV, on the telly, that's, you know, like an expert and like, well, if I was going to do this, I'd accept that there's a fundamental level of risk here. Disclaimer, but this is how you could do it as safely as possible. And there's great opportunity, I think, from this show, from podcasters, from Frontline Gaming very specifically. They're getting called out just because I know they have ambition and I love them and I want them to do well. I don't want them to be targets of a goon job. You know, I want them to be celebrated.
Is it now called, instead of a hit job, a goon job?
Goon job. I want the people who are going to take the risk to, frankly, give us a sense of normalcy again, to bring back like some of the things we really miss, like seeing each other and doing things, and to do it in a responsible way that is an example not only for other people in Warhammer, but fucking other people, period. That is what I would really, really love to see.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair point. Thanks for having a really difficult conversation with me and the pair of you. Like, it wasn't the plan. I just thought I'd bring up a joke and then ask you why Eradicator costs so much in the kill team box.
It's fine. If it was, like... Sometimes I wish I didn't have to get up at like 4 a.m. to do this, so I could be more like coherent with some of my arguments. Like, there's definitely been several episodes we've gotten serious where at the end I was like, man, I wish I'd had like 4 more hours sleep so I could have actually paid attention to what I was saying. But it's fine. It's why I wake up for this show, is to have these kind of conversations, more for the dick jokes, but I take what I can get.
No, yeah, I mean, there's some great ones, let's be honest.
I mean, I literally talk to no one else except for pilots and my wife, so. And I talk down to my children, and that's, like, literally it, so.
Surely you talk down to the pilots as well.
Sometimes. This last week,
that's
I
all
did.
He's got.
Last week, I definitely talked down to some pilots. I probably shouldn't have, but I was a little in a mood.
Pete, I don't know if I'm allowed to, well, I'm going to say. So Peter is... this weird type of air traffic controller that actually does not have control. So all he can be is passive aggressive to pilots. So literally, he is professionally, his job is to talk down to people, make them feel bad, and follow his instructions because he can't directly tell them what to do. So is that a good appraisal of how it works?
That's a good way to yeah, it's a really good way to talk it through, right? Like, there's certain laws that I can enforce, but for the most part, it's like, you do you, don't kill anybody. And then we're like, well, I want to do this. Then I have to say, well, you know, like, you probably shouldn't, because you'll die.
If I was flying, and, you know, full disclaimer, can't, you know, I'm not a pilot, but if I was flying, I'd probably observe rule 22B subsection -D that says, you're a fucking idiot. Stop doing that, please. Yeah.
Please don't do that. But, I mean, usually it's more like, you know, traffic at your 6 o'clock is a blah, blah, blah. Don't go there. Like, don't do the thing you're saying you're going to do, because there's a plane where you're saying it. Like, don't be in the same place, because pilots do love to be in the same place at the same time. They love it.
There's a real hierarchy on this show. Pete's like, don't do this, you'll die. Val's like, don't do this, you'll be broke. And I'm like, don't do this, you might not have quite as much fun playing Warhammer. Like, there's a real hierarchy there. And that's a mirror to my life.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good range of advice, I got to say. I think that's covering all of the bases.
Yes, pretty much. Just need someone on to help us with the love life. That would be good. Anyway, well, like, listen. Go on.
Just one last thing, too. Like, I think, well, I don't want to speak for Pete, but I want to speak for myself in this sense, is that I often will reflect, and this is on the topic of, you know, getting back to normal, and, like, people are getting really on their high horses right now. Like, you hear about because it is such a politically extreme thing. Hell, I saw an anti-mask protest in Toronto, Canada. It was very poorly attended, but you know, it's happening everywhere.
It happens.
And you know, there's a lot of like from the people who are like, guys, we have to get through this. We got to isolate. You got to wear masks. You got to do that. And like, who are so exhausted from the thought that, you know, very soon we're going to be arguing with people about whether or not they should get the vaccine, which is bananas to me too. I think there needs to be some empathy because I come from the seat of Rob, not like you, right? Like, I have a wife. I have an adorable baby son. Shouts I have JVP. JVP. I got two awesome bulldogs. Like, I get this show every Tuesday. Like, yes, I would love to have a bigger circle than that, but I do have warm living beings to like share my life with on a daily basis. And there's lots of people in this world who do not have that, that are living in an apartment or a condo or a house, nobody around. Best thing they get is their fucking 8 hours a day of Zoom calls. If, you know, if they get that, you know, like, it sucks hard. And like, I understand that eventually we're going to get to a tipping point where the risk of getting this thing is legitimately reduced. And therefore those people are just like, I can't anymore. I got to go. Like Rob said earlier, life is a risk, right? And there will be a point where the argument that life is a risk, I think, has a lot more traction than it did in, say, I don't know, October, you know, where it was clearly, plainly, obviously dangerous. I think that will not be as equal. And I think as people on maybe the other side of the coin, which is we need to take this seriously, don't take the risk. I think we all have to be open-minded in how do we manage that risk responsibly and let people have their lives again in some form. So I think we just have to be careful of high horses. Because, you know, as much as I've always dreamt it was the case, just yelling facts at people does not get them to change their behavior or opinions. Yep. And we need
people
to...
People still think Kraft World Eldar are good, and I've been trying to say the opposite.
I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to get this here, but like, I really did, like, because I'm talking to myself there, because like, I have so much privilege and like legitimate on so many levels versus a lot of folks out there, then I have to realize that, like, you know, other people's, it's like right at the beginning when all the celebrities is like, we're all in the same boat, man, in my mansion. And I also just rented Bermuda and I'm flying all my friends there. You know, like, we're not all on the same boat. We're in the same ocean, not even the same ocean. Some of us are just on fucking dry land. Right. So let's be mindful of others.
Which is the point of why we set up the Stream Streak. And I can't thank you both enough for being a part of that. Like, I think that's been, And we're only 30 days away from the year mark of the Stream Streak. Which means we're not far away from the start of the 40K Adjacent show. So we'll have our first birthday, which will be super fun. Aww. And I do hope this continues for as long as it can continue, because I'll do this for as long as you guys can.
Yeah, maybe for our first anniversary, we'll spin it out. Maybe we'll spin it off. Get a little. I'll splurge for our Libsyn account.
Maybe we'll
distro this.
Maybe. Yeah, I like that. Okay. That sounds nice.
But yeah, frankly, Rob, like, I think the reason why, you know, Pete and I showed up with our hats on, I think in the second week, I think in my imagination, I remember thinking about this before. It was like, we didn't show up until a month in. It was like week two we were on the show because I was just so impressed by, you know, the initiative to be like, let's just have a hangout sesh every day and try and hang on. And so kudos to you, Rob, because you're a crazy person. And have you missed a day? I think you have one day off on a weekend.
No, not missed a day. I mean, I've done other, like, we've done like live event coverage. So like, you know, which is like the same, but every day we've done it. So
this guy, he's logged on for at least 10 minutes every day. Yeah, there was one time he was just in a shower cap, eating a jam sandwich, and he was like, listen, guys, this is it. This is the show.
I was super sick once, and I called in for 5 minutes, but I was still there. That counts.
Gargants are the future. He said it. And he logged off.
Yeah, but that's the point, right? Like, you were talking about all those people. I've been that person who's alone and I would love to see my fucking friends and play Warhammer. And now I've got this kick-ass venue, and I'm like, every day I wander through it, and I'm like, it's going to be so fucking good when this is pumping. Mm. Like, we're playing some hip-hop. Everyone's dancing. Yeah, like, that's a different job. No, but, like, we're going to, you know, like, we're all going to be here rolling dice. It's going to be the most fun. I'm super excited about that. Like, and every day I'm excited about that, I then have to be like, okay, but not yet, which is sad. Like, can I'm going to start... Go on.
Can we, as we're getting into that amazing thing actually starting up consistently, can we do a hype vid that's based on Field of Dreams that will only hype me up, but where you like walk through the venue slowly and you just hear someone whisper, "You build it, they will come." And then there's a bunch of ephemeral ghost fat guys playing Warhammer. Mm-hmm. And then eventually
just corn.
Like,
can you have like corn?
There's corn everywhere.
Put corn in there. Just a bunch of it. Not the band. Like the vegetable. The grass.
No, the band. We want the band. That's how we'll make it kind of cool.
I get it.
Oh, yeah. Corn playing in a cornfield.
Quick question for you both.
No one has thought of that.
Honestly. Like, so if I did like a 40K, I think I plan to roughly do a 40K event every week. But like it might not work out. It might be every other week. If there was a 40K tournament, it's only 16 players, so 8 tables. Mm-hmm. But do you think that would you be like, cool, every Sunday there's like 3 live stream games of like competitive 40K, like with commentary? Do you think that would be like a consistently good thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You'd have to do it. It would be 8. It would also be 8 people to do a 3 round event.
Well, we'd have 16. A guaranteed winner. We could do 16.
You can do 16 though.
That's 4 games.
We could do 16. No, but like,
if you want.
One dayer is what I'm saying.
I know, but like to get a winner. With 16 people, you need 4 games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Winners don't matter. Winners don't matter. Val, they don't matter. It doesn't matter who wins.
It's true. It's true. Plus, also, no one's got that many Dark Angels to win, so.
Yeah, and, like, literally, Nottingham has 0 good Warhammer 40K players, so we'll be fine. We won't even have to watch it.
Wow.
It won't even be interesting.
You and Tom combined to rag on me about 40K consistently.
I mean, Tom and I had such a good discussion this week about deploying scramblers. So,
by the way, can I
quickly
just call
without
it,
him?
I need to call Tom out for something here because he said one of the most absurd things I'd ever heard of. And he said some spicy hot takes, but I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. But he said that they don't have a lot of 3-day events in England, in the UK, because people have to work on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, that's interesting. A, implying the rest of the world works 4 days a week. I mean, personally, yeah. But most people, no, they have to work more than four days a week. Also implying that you guys don't have vacation in the UK and you can't book off on Friday.
Teachers don't, and the only good players in the UK we've learned from doing the stat center are teachers. That's it. All the rest are absolute fucking garbage. So it's Manny Chima and then a bunch of teachers. Like the whole teachers association in the UK are like the top 40K players, and they don't take Fridays off because they think of the children.
And they just throw their union weight around. Great. You know, thank you for bringing up unions, Pete. I've wanted to talk about unions and the importance of collective bargaining in achieving a fair deal for labor everywhere.
It's the only reason why I'm still going to have a job in like 2 months. Is because
hey!
Of my union. So,
that's positive. That's a positive result.
There we go. It's a net positive.
Right. Okay. I'm excited to hear the clapback on Thursday night from Tom and Nick.
I haven't heard them even acknowledge my presence yet, and I've been talking some smack. And also, that is just the most stupid take I've ever heard. Tom.
I will say that deploying scramblers should be a mission primary. Just saying, I'm not. That, it really should. Yeah.
Also, I think I'm making a run at Best Air.
I don't know, bud.
On the show,
making a run.
Yeah, will say, like I did get a haircut this week. You should have seen. If I had not had a hat on the last couple episodes, especially the last one, my hair had started to curl back up. I have curly hair if it grows out. It was quite the scene. Like, it was everywhere. It was getting stuck in stuff. And then the minus 50 wasn't helping. So it was just like, if I got a shower and went to work, it was just like a frozen mass. I was just, I'm super glad that they let us get haircuts here again.
Is it, you're a bit like Kyle Brown-Flosky when he takes his hat on South Park. It's just poof.
Yeah, pretty much.
I literally looked in the mirror
because you like skipped a whole bunch of consonants in that name, so I had to be like, "Who are you talking about?" But I got it.
I'm glad. Yeah.
What was I going to say? I looked in the mirror the other day. I don't know if this is a common thing, but I feel like in Canada it is that in your last year of high school, if you're a dude, you just let your hair grow, like you just get a nice flowing, regardless of if long hair looks good on you. So I had like a nice wave. Like super long, wore a trucker hat. That's how I looked in my 13th year of school because we had 13 grades in those days. And the other day I was like walking past the mirror and I looked up and I just saw my high school self, but 100 pounds lighter.
That's so hot.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There's a lot of hair on the Honest Wargamer though. Like not so much on the Monday show. Monday night team really struggling for top hair. Yeah. I'm telling you that.
I just want to say that the first thing I've ever gotten a rise out of Nikos from was don't quote fucking test Tom's hair, bro. In the chat.
The extension at this point. We think it might be a squig who's alive and gets smarter the taller it gets.
That's what orc hair is. That's one of my favorite lore things. Like, it's maybe the only lore thing I know is that orc hair is a squig that's bit them in the scalp and grows.
Quick side note. They've released a new Savage Orc model. It's got nipples, which is a big drama. Only really on this show and only really coming from me. But the existence of nipples on orcs is actually
hashtag Nipplegate. Where is this release?
It's an Underworld War band, so like, don't worry about it. It's like just an Uruk, like that they're releasing. So it's a game that like literally two people play. Shout out to my man, can you roll a crit? Got a whole blog, which I'm sure is thoroughly ignored. he's a great guy. Anyway, right, let's go. You guys, Pete needs to sleep.
8:29, we're right on time. This train's on time.
Oh, is it? I thought we were very late. Yeah,
we started late. We started late because of Val.
I really tried so hard to be here on time, and I'm sorry I screwed up your numbers for today.
Yeah, nobody watched because of Val.
I think it's quite popular. I don't know how many people are watching. We're doing well. We're on that path to partner. We're waiting for Twitch to get back to us. Come on, Twitch.
Haven't you done it yet? It's not like I remember it like not being a particularly long period of time of consistent numbers. No.
We've hit the average, but please, everyone, keep tuning in to keep the average up.
Maybe like the content. Maybe they would keep watching.
Yeah, that would. I mean, they seem to, which is great. I think so. We applied 4 weeks ago, and it's a 2-week process, and they're 2 weeks overdue. So we'll see. Maybe they're just waiting for this. They're like, we want to wait for the Goonhammer article, and then we're in. Let's go.
Yeah, they were like, we saw it. We had to hear the feedback. We need
maybe
a serious
we'll be the
episode.
Target of a goon job. Maybe we'll get goon.
I feel like this is getting pornographic. This is like a Bukkake moment.
Right, you guys are all brilliant. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Pete and Val, who will be back next week. You guys are wonderful. Have a great day. Thanks, Patreon, podcast, and all the other bros in the world.